Scripture this morning is from the New Testament, the book of Romans, chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and to deal with sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, so that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot, and those who are in the flesh cannot please God.
I thank our sister in Christ for sharing those words of truth that can be trusted. Thank you, my friend. Would you join with me in prayer? We thank you, Lord, for this day, and we thank you for how you continue to sustain us. Thank you for your word that offers hope and new life. And we open ourselves all to it through Christ, our namesake and our Savior. Amen. I'll ask you again the same question that I asked my younger friends earlier and that I actually posited before all of you. Do you consider yourselves obedient? I'm making sure my stair keeps moving. Do you understand that? I'm making sure my stair, that I keep drawn to, no, I'm not getting drawn to certain people. You know, one of the things that I find is that whenever I'm doing wedding ceremonies, covenant celebrations, and the bride and groom come to me and we share, some make it very clear that they don't want to obey in the ceremony, in the liturgy, to obey. Do I have to say to obey, Pastor? They could care less about everything else. They just want to make sure that's out of there. The liturgy that I use, for those who might be interested in the future, does not include to obey. Okay, so you know I don't use that liturgy. But there's a bigger question. Whenever we talk about obedience, and there's a greater issue for us as the people of God. As the people of God. As God's people. As those who belong to God. As those who are defined by God and God alone. Are we obedient to God? I had to kind of stretch that out, you see. Because whenever I say God's people, you kind of forget that. You've heard me say that so often. Sometimes it even loses its meaning. But you do belong to God. And you're defined by God. You are His before you're anybody else's. And the question that we have before us this morning is, are we obedient to God, or who are we obedient to, or what are we obedient to? What are we following? It's a scripture passage from the Psalms that shares this from Psalm 25, beginning with verse 4. Psalm 25, beginning with verse 4. Psalm 25, beginning with verse 4. Teach me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. I think you might have heard that before. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation, and for you I wait all day long. For you are the God of my salvation, and for you I wait all day long. Interesting words. Is there anybody that you know that you make appointments with and you know that you're going to be waiting for them? They're always late. I'm not looking up right now because I fall into that category. But here it says we're called to wait for God all day long. In other words, there's nothing about instant gratification with being God's people. Sorry. I saw a story on Sunday morning this morning about those shoes that are kind of curved, weird. You know what I'm talking about? Maybe some of you even wear those. You get those. And it kind of causes you to sort of be unstable, so then you have to really concentrate about your posture and how you're walking. And I guess if you're walking like this, that's about the last thing that you need to worry about, really, if you're walking like that through the store. But the news is, and I don't mean to blow the ending for you, the news is that they don't do anything more for you than any other shoes. It still takes work to get into shape. It still takes following a sensible diet. It still takes effort. That's kind of like what it is with being a child of God, okay? It still takes some work on our part. It still takes some effort on our part. Certainly, showing up in church on Sunday is fantastic. That's part of the equation. But it takes more. It takes a humility, and it takes an offering of ourselves so that we're waiting on God. We're not waiting on someone else. We're not waiting on something else. We're not waiting on winning the lottery. We're not waiting on all of a sudden having instantly good health or being instantly fit or being instantly anything else. It means that we're pondering God's word. It starts becoming part of who we are and what we do as the people of God. It means that we are truly waiting on Him to work in our lives. Not about, God, if you do this right now, I will, dot, dot, dot. Fill in the blank. Not of us making a deal with God. It's rather being open to that grace that is always present. Being nurtured, being washed over in that grace, being encouraged and strengthened in the time of waiting for God to be at work in our lives. Who are we obedient to? Who do we follow? Who do we wait upon? I was in one of my favorite stores the other day, Dollar Tree, and I was getting polish, not for my head, for the wood in our home. And all of a sudden, I heard an aisle over a mom in a very shrill voice saying, "Why did you dump the hats all over the aisle? Pick those up." And her daughter was kind of stammering and trying to come up for reasons for throwing hats all over the aisle. And the mom went, "One, two." Didn't stop at three. She went all the way through 10. Well, as I went by the aisle, not only were the hats all over the aisle still, but the mom was trying them on now also. True story. True story. Who are you following? Who are you obedient to? Who are you listening to in your life? Or do you listen? Or does God start going with us? One, two. The scripture reading from Romans today is one that we need to look at carefully, because there is some terminology here that we need to understand. And receiving the very first verse is something that should encourage us and comfort us. If it doesn't, you're not listening. So I want you to listen to this once again. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's good news. That means God isn't going, one, two. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The last part of that is something to be considered. In Christ Jesus. You see, that's a different way of living. It means that it's no longer about our agenda and to-do list, but rather how God guides us in what we do and say. Hear that again. It's no longer about our agenda or to-do list, but how God guides us in what we are to do and say. For us, there's great grace and hope and joy in that. It's a reality that it doesn't all rest on our shoulders. Sometimes we create God in our image. It's the other way around. We've been created in His image. And so we are called to follow how He leads us in our lives. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and to deal with sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, so that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. There is a technique in Hebrew literature where whenever you say death has been put to death, that means those two things are coming against each other. Death has been put to death. That's what Paul is saying here. The things of death that exist in the world, and I'm not talking about just our physical earthly death, but I'm talking about the things of death that live in the world, the things of the evil one, of the enemy, that our work no longer holds sway over us whenever we have that relationship with God through Jesus Christ. That's good news. Not only is that good news, that's the gospel that Paul is sharing here. You understand that earlier in chapter 7 last week, we were looking at the fact that Paul is saying that, well, I keep doing the things I know I shouldn't do. I keep doing the things I know I shouldn't do. I keep doing those things, and doggone it, I know I shouldn't do it. And now, he says, there's no condemnation anymore. We don't have to keep beating ourselves up anymore because of what God has done for us on the cross through Jesus Christ, that atoning act, that act that puts us at one with God again. That, my friends, is wonderful news to hear. Things that point to death in life, in living in this world, I should say, will continue to exist. They sure will. Struggles, broken relationships, illness, disease, addiction, and we can go on and on and on. Those things will continue, but do they define us anymore? No, they don't. What God has done for us through Christ is now what defines us, and that means new life defines us. Think about where Christ ended up. He was risen. He wasn't in the tomb anymore. He was alive. He was healed. And then He was taken to be with God in glory. That's what defines us now. What's the challenge? Remembering that whenever we're beaten down, isn't it? I mean, let's face it. That is the challenge. Remembering it. Remembering it whenever we get bad news. Remembering it whenever we hear news of someone that's very special to us who's going through a very difficult time. Remembering it that we are defined by God's glory through Christ rather than the powers of death. Whenever we are going through challenges of all sorts of shapes and sizes. You probably won't hear this for the rest of the week. So that's why I want you to hear it now, so that you can remember it. You are no longer defined by those things. You are no longer condemned by those things and condemned to a life of death, living in the shadow of death. You are now free as God's people to live new lives, lives of grace and joy and hope. not of depression and anger and bitterness, but rather lives of release. Freedom means that you can release those things to God and you no longer have to carry them yourself, because God doesn't want you to carry them. He wants you to live as His children, loved and embraced and defined by His grace and His grace alone. Now, maybe you won't remember that whole statement this week, but I hope you remember parts of it, because it's important, friends. Not only for ourselves, but for those around us who don't know the good news, who don't know the gospel. We don't judge. Judgment is not in the job description of Christians. Remember that. It's God's and God's alone. But our job description includes sharing about God and what God has done in our lives. God had done this in Paul's life, and that's why he's so excited about it. For this reason, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Now, the flesh is not simply about this, okay? The flesh speaks to something else. It speaks to whenever we're more self-centered. It speaks to a worship of other things that are not God. Money, busyness, technology, and so on and so on and so on. Whenever you're worshiping those things, whenever that becomes the primary thing in your life, then your mind is set on things of the flesh. Again, not a flesh in a body sense, but things that are temporary, that fade away, that don't last. I want to commend you. I want to commend you for the power of your witness in being here this very morning. I want to commend you for seeking to be having your minds set on God, on your Heavenly Father, on the one who has given you a whole new way of living, not a way that leads to death, but a way that leads to life eternal, and a way that leads to a new life here and now. Maybe because of something that you're carrying, you're having trouble thinking about new life. But maybe also it's as simple as saying, Lord, I really want to pay more attention to you. It's a simple statement, isn't it? And guess what? Whenever we've stopped paying attention to God and then we realize that we need to be paying more attention to Him again, we can say that again. Lord, I want to be paying more attention to you. Really, you are my starting point. Each day, each moment. I'd like you to take a few moments with me right now. Just close your eyes and think about where your starting point is. Is it with God? As you hear the music play in this time of discipleship, I want you to just simply be open to who you're obedient to, and not think about that in a negative way or in a bad way, or obedience with punishment. Think about obedience leading to a whole deeper love, a deeper intimacy with God. God wants that with you, not because I'm saying it, but because His Word says it, and because we have countless examples of it in our own lives. Whenever we turn to God and put Him first, how we feel His strength and His healing and His power, we experience even more meaning in our lives. Think about this. Think about if you're putting God first and what God is calling you to do to have Him first in your life.